Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with two chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
We are back, everybody. It's the week four edition of Gun on One, the podcast. And there's only one team left that is unblemished in the National Football League. And we all know who that is. It is the Philadelphia Eagles. For this edition of Gun on One, I've got somebody who I've known a long time. I've respected a long time. And I love his insights and perspective. For this week's show, I have locked down the one and only Ike Reese for this edition. Stay right where you are.
This is Sal Palantonio from ESPN.
I'm Brandon Graham.
Lane Johnson here.
This is the magnificent DJ Jazzy Jeff.
This is Donovan McNabb.
This is Chris Long.
This is Mark Zumoff, the TV voice of the 76ers on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski.
Hello, I'm Jay Wright, head coach of Villanova basketball.
Hey, I'm Brian Westbrook, and you're listening to the Gun on One podcast.
And what's happening? This is your blessed boy, Brian Dawkins, Hall of Famer, and you're locked in to Gun on One.
You are locked in to the Gun on One.
Gun on One.
Gun on One.
You are locked on to Gun on One.
I've been on the air for 25 years, but I could not wait to be on Gun on One with my man, Derek Gump.
ESPN bracketologist Joe Lunardi telling you to stay locked on to Gun on One. It is a number one seed.
All right, everybody, we are back with this week's edition of Gun on One. It is powered by the Jacob Sports Media YouTube machine. And as I told you a moment ago, I'm bringing in somebody who does not shy away from opinions, who has great insights. I've known him a long time. I covered him for years. I'm still proud to call him not just a colleague, but a friend. And I've covered the Philadelphia Eagles for 25 plus years. And I'm not saying this because he's sitting here. I'm saying it because it's true. He is one of my all-time favorite Philadelphia Eagles. Ike Reese, what's up, my brother?
What's up, D-Gun? Man, very kind words. You must be coming with some heavy questions tonight because you set me up pretty good right there.
Yeah, I figured I had to beg you to come on. So I'm going to hit you with the soft ones first. And then I'm going to put you on the spot later. How's that?
That sounds good to me.
All right, so here we go. So as you heard me say off the top of this podcast, Eagles, only unblemished team left in the National Football League. Heading into this season, we all across the media platforms felt that what Howie Roseman assembled would look like a pretty good football team. But did you honestly think we'd be sitting here talking about a 4-0 team at this point?
No. I thought there's a chance they could lose the second game to Minnesota.
Okay.
Coming in. But I did have them around 3-1, 4-0. You got to realize I picked them to go 12-5 this year.
Okay.
I did. So, I thought they certainly could get off to a hot start. It all depended on, how fast they were able to come out of training camp. Are you coming out of training camp healthy? How much rust is there? Because we know this team doesn't do a whole lot as far as preseason games with their first teamers. So, you never know what you may have to overcome just from a preparation and rust standpoint to start the season. Mm-hmm. And you may give away a game or lose a game to a team that you're really better than. You're just not better than them right now. So credit to the Eagles for being able to get off to a fast start. And, the idea of, prioritizing health during training camp has seemingly paid off for them. They didn't have to sacrifice wins in order to keep people healthy early in the season. They've been able to keep people healthy coming into the season, and they're off to a 4-0 start.
Hey, you just mentioned the word credit, man. Let's give credit to a guy who is being talked about across the league right now, and that's one Jalen Hurts. You know, we all had question marks about how much would he improve in 2022. We heard he put in all the work, extra study, film sessions. And I think it's honest to say, Ike, that through 4 weeks, I think he's answered all the questions of the accuracy, reading defenses, being a better leader. Am I missing something here?
No. And those intangible things, I think, were less of a question for Jalen. Those are some of his strengths coming out. It was the things that you need to do to be successful on a week-to-week basis, year-to-year basis as an NFL quarterback. It's the one position in the NFL that's scrutinized more heavily than any other position on the football field. Mm-hmm. So you don't get to, you know, have a bad play and people chalk it up as a bad play. We dissect it. So, you know, Jalen had a lot of room to improve as a passer, as a decision maker, the ability to process information quickly and get the ball out where it needed to go. Yeah. And he's done all those things. Mm-hmm. See, I mean, he's done all those things. And I think when you're talking about giving him credit, I don't see why anybody would have a problem giving someone credit for doing what you wanted to see them go out and do. Mm-hmm. And so he's done those things. It's early in the season, and now expectations mm-hmm. have risen. So he's cleared a certain bar for some people, and then we raise the bar. And then it's the next thing. That's how it goes playing quarterback in this league. And it's no different for him than it is for 31 other quarterbacks in this league.
Ike, when you break down his game, give me the one thing in your expert opinion that really jumps out to you about him.
This year's, I tell you, he's improved as a passer so much this year. You have to be impressed with, you know, his ability to be accurate, get the ball out on time. You know, those things are going to allow him to play at an elite level. Yep. We know his athleticism is something that's natural to him, and he's able to use that when needed. That's the other thing. I probably should give him a lot more credit for being judicious when he decides to use his athletic ability. He's not a reckless runner when he's using his legs. He genuinely knows how to protect himself. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's smart in knowing if he needs to go for a first down or a touchdown, he's going to lower his head and take on whatever is coming his way. So I think things like that are sort of endearing to his teammates. Like those are the things that your teammates sit back and watch and say, oh, he's one of us.
Yeah.
He's one of us. So that was the thing we all loved about Donovan as a player. I remember when he was younger and he didn't have a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the football, but there were plenty of times where he did whatever was needed to be done on that side of the ball. Right. And I think that the willingness to do that sort of it makes your teammates want to play for you and be out there with you. And I think that's something that can't be overlooked. And Jalen, it seems to be natural to him to be the way that he is, as opposed to, you know, it being uncomfortable to be that guy. So I know I gave you a lot of an answer there.
Yeah.
But I think there's so much more to his game now as he continues to grow as a quarterback that I don't know how you can't be impressed if you're an Eagles fan with what you're watching.
And Ike, when you look at this offense that he's running, it's currently an offense averaging almost 436 yards a game, rushing for 165 yards a game, almost 29 points a game. And, of course, the addition of A.J. Brown has enhanced that offense significantly. But the running game, this running game has not missed a beat from last year. And when you look at what they just did to Jacksonville, which was the number one rush defense, and they tattooed them for 210 yards, I'm like, is there a way to stop this running game? Now Washington did a decent job stopping the running game. But is there really a way you can stop this running game?
Well, I don't know if you can shut it down if Jalen's completely healthy, Miles is completely healthy, and whether it's Gainwell or Boston Scott,
who's
banged up right now. We got our first chance to see a little bit of Trey Sermon this past week. They have enough potential for production back there. If those guys are healthy, you know, and you just commit to the run game, eventually you're going to break runs. And, oh, by the way, the most important part of the run game is the best offensive line in football. You got that going for you. Knock on wood, the only thing that would be able to slow them down is health, and is not being healthy. Mm-hmm. And I would be remiss not to give, you know, credit to Shane Steichen and Nick Sirianni for the type of game plans that they put together. Whatever the situation calls for, they're able to adjust and adapt. You know, they've been effective offensively almost four different ways. If you think about it, Detroit thought they could blitz the Eagles and speed up Jalen's process to try to figure out what's going on. Played too much man coverage. Jalen had 18 rushes, killed them on third down countlessly with his legs as well as big plays. You go to Minnesota, they wanted to play more zone and keep more eyes on Jalen. Well, it gave him time to go through his progressions, and he knew where to go with the football. So he completed 80% of his passes against Minnesota.
Yeah.
You go to Washington, they're stopping the run. Washington has one of the worst secondaries in all of football. Devontae Adams has 168 yards receiving in the first half. A.J. Brown is going off. Like, so Jalen threw for over 300 yards in the first half of the game against Washington. And then last week, when you saw the weather, it was inclement weather.
Yep.
It wasn't going to be a day to throw the ball a ton, only when you needed to. So the Eagles were able to go to the run game. And what I loved about last week's game plan is they trusted Miles Sanders with the football. 27 carries, the ball never touched the ground.
That's right.
Miles Sanders. 27 carries, a career high in rushing yardage. And that's why they're the best team in football through 4 weeks. Through 4 weeks, this is the best team in football.
You know, when they started off the running game against Jacksonville, they kept trying to run laterally against that defense. And I'm screaming at the TV, don't try to outrun this team laterally. You can't.
Run right at them.
Hit them right in the mouth. And they changed the game plan in midstream. And Jacksonville could do nothing with that running game.
Yeah, those linebackers. And I like the kid Lloyd they drafted out of Utah.
Yeah.
You know, at 23 was making a lot of plays out there. I can't think of his name right now. So Mike Caldwell, they got some players over there on defense in Jacksonville. But that defense is built off of speed. So, yeah, when you run east and west, you're almost playing into their hands. When they decided to go north and south and just be man-on-man and out-physical Jacksonville, man, that's when Landon Dickerson – Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, you know, even Driscoll getting in on it. Like, that's what those guys want to do in that type of weather. They just want to pound on guys. And so once they started doing that, the Jacksonville defense had no answer for the Eagles' running game. And then you sprinkle in a little Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
When if he decides to take off, it becomes even more difficult for a defense.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Mike Caldwell because I covered him. You know him well. When he was here, I've said this on a number of platforms. He was this quiet, reserved guy, didn't say a whole lot. You know, he was very polite. But are you surprised that, you know, his defense got it handed to him on Sunday? But are you surprised that his name is now being mentioned among the best D coordinators in the game right now?
Not at all. Yeah, I realize, man, this dude taught me about being a professional.
Really?
This dude taught me about being a professional. You know, I'm coming out of college, you know, a four-year starter. I'm thinking like, well, hold on, why am I not playing? Why am I not playing more? You know, so I remember him telling me or asking me my rookie year. He said, was your dream to play in the NFL or to start as a linebacker in the NFL?
Mm.
And so in a nutshell, he was trying to tell me, find your role. Everybody's good at this level.
Right.
It doesn't mean you have to settle for that role, but you at least have to be willing to embrace that role.
Okay.
And you can have you an NFL career. And when I took that advice, my whole mental approach to the game changed. Learning how to take notes. I sat next to him in meetings. He took notes every meeting, no matter if it was the same stuff we were going over. I used to be like, Zeke, we went over this yesterday. Why are you writing that down again? Didn't you write that down yesterday? He said, listen, the more you write it down, the more things you find out about the defense. You find out something different. What now you're finding out not only what your responsibility is, you're finding out what the D linemen are doing in front of you. What's the safety support? What coverage are we playing behind you? And then most importantly, you find out why are we playing this defense in this situation? So he was constantly about learning the game of football. And so I credit him with a lot of my knowledge from the game from a student standpoint of just knowing how to watch film. I used to sit next to him every meeting, man, because he also took good notes. Like, I could read his handwriting. I couldn't even read my own handwriting.
Oh, so you were cheating from him. Cheating.
Of course. He was the smartest. He was him and Willie T, the smartest linebackers we had.
Well, I'm so glad to see he's doing well now. And of course, he went to that Todd Bowles school of defense. And you can see a lot of what Todd Bowles does. He tries to do. His team's still young. They'll get there eventually as Doug Peterson takes that team to another level. Good to see Doug Peterson back in the league. He's in a very similar situation as he was here in Philadelphia. Came in here and fixed the train wreck, and he has that Jacksonville team moving in the right direction.
Yeah, got to be happy for him. Was good to see Doug. Good to see that he's doing well. Happy that he has, you know, Zeke as his defensive coordinator down there.
Yeah.
A couple former teammates of mine. So, yeah, I tell you, man, you know, I tell my listeners, because they get on me about how many teams I root for around the league.
Right.
I said, well, it's not my fault that Andy Reid's coaching tree is pretty much half of the NFL now.
Yep.
So, you know, half of these coaches in the NFL have some direct tie to Philadelphia or Andy Reid, or they play with me. So add Jacksonville to Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, all these coaches that I played for or played with. You know, Deuce is out in Detroit, so I root for him. You know, even my own linebacker coach and Ron Rivera being down in Washington. Like, so it's guys everywhere. It's just it makes me feel proud that I was a part of something special in the early 2000s. And you can really see how good we had it back then and why we had the level of success that we had, because it was a lot of football brain power in that building. Mm-hmm. And it's more prevalent around the NFL now today than it's ever been. When you just think about those early 2000 Philadelphia Eagles teams, you see the branches off in the league everywhere.
You know, who came up with this unwritten rule that if you live in a city, you have to root for one team? It's a free country. You can root for whoever you want to root for. I've never understood that. If you live here, you got to root for. No, you don't. You can be a fan, but you know what? You have other roots planted elsewhere in the country.
Especially guys like us, D-Gun. We've moved around.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I've lived coast to coast.
Yes. And in the sports world, fortunate enough to build relationships that are lasting relationships that are valued. It's bigger than the game. It's bigger than the game. And we want to see friends of ours have success at what they're doing, as long as it's not at the expense of my Philadelphia Eagles. So, yeah, as long as it's not at the expense of my Philadelphia Eagles, I'm okay with it.
All right, let's take it back to the Eagles because you briefly mentioned this guy named Miles Sanders. 27 carries this game. He's in top three in rushing right now. I've always said when it comes to Miles, and I'll continue to say it this season, I don't want to see Miles carrying the ball on an average 25, 30 times a game. I don't think he's built for that. I think 15, 18, 19 carries a game. But when duty calls, he toted that rock 27 times for $134. He says, whenever they call my number, I will be ready. He has talked all offseason about running with a purpose. This young man is running with that proverbial chip on his shoulder this season. obviously money's involved, but I think he's out to prove more than just about getting his dollars.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think, you know, when you come out with high expectations, when you're a second-round draft pick, you view yourself as a franchise-type tailback, you know, his expectations of himself should be pretty high. So I'm sure he has some doubters out there that he wants to prove wrong. You know, in today's world, D-Gun, it's not about what's written about you in the paper. It's what you read on social media nowadays. And these guys, they keep receipts. So I'm not surprised at all. And quite frankly, I said this summer. I said the one X factor about this Eagles team that could really take it to a different stratosphere is Miles Sanders. Okay. If Miles Sanders is playing at the potential in which we all thought he could when they drafted him, he's motivated. It's an element this offense hasn't seen since they went to the Super Bowl, and that was by a committee when you had that type of running game back in 2017. They really have had to piecemeal their running game together, and we've gotten by doing that, but there's nothing like having a franchise back to get a ball to that's a threat to go to the house or that's a threat to make a big play every time he touches the ball. And I think that's what Miles is starting to showcase, that he has the ability to do that. I think Sunday goes a long way, D-Gun, and trusting that you can get a ball to Miles Sanders. Yeah. I don't know if prior to Sunday they thought they could give him the ball that much. And I'm with you. He doesn't need to carry the ball 27 times a game.
Right.
But I've always said this. He should get 20 touches, whether that's 15 carries, five receptions, whatever it may be. He should get 20 touches a game. He's that good.
I agree 100% with you. All right, I'm going to take you to your wheelhouse now, the defense.
Okay.
This defense is giving up less than 280 yards a game, giving up less than 18 points a game, tied for first in the league in takeaways. Number one, now here's the biggie, number one in the league right now in QB sacks when they were one of the worst defenses in the league last year in terms of getting to the quarterback. Has this defense, throughout the first game was like a dress rehearsal because they hadn't played much football.
That was preseason, yes. That was a real preseason game for them.
But beyond that, has this defense lived up to your expectations, my friend?
Yes, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And I mean in all phases, too. And I really did expect them to be a good defense this year. I love the acquisitions this offseason. I thought adding James Bradberry right before training camp started was like the final piece to me. I would have been good with just that. Then they go out and trade for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yep.
They must have realized a couple guys they had in training camp just wasn't cutting the mustard. I'm not going to name any names. They're no longer here anymore. But they realized that. And so give Howie Roseman credit. He went out and addressed it. And the great thing is he didn't go out and put a Band-Aid on it. He went out and got a real live player in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So when I look at this defense, the offense is always going to get all of the headlines.
Yep.
But to me, the defense has been almost as impressive as Jalen has been as a player. Mm. And I say that to say they've done it by blitzing.
Yep.
They've done it by dominating a depleted Washington football team, or Commanders, whatever the hell their name is nowadays. The Washington team, they demolished that offensive line with 9 sacks.
Right.
And then last week, you know, Trevor Lawrence had done a great job of taking care of the football. And it was one of the things that I think had allowed Jacksonville to get to 2-1. And when you look at both teams last week that were playing in those same conditions, well, one team was out there forcing turnovers left and right.
Yep.
And that was the Eagles team. So I love what they're doing, man. And it's early. Like Jonathan Gannon, he's only had James Bradberry and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson for a month and a half. Like he hasn't even had them for an entire offseason. So I expect them, as long as they stay healthy, to be even better as the season goes along. And we have 3 quarterbacks that I could think of that I would be like, you know what? okay, they may be able to do something against our defense. But other, and you, and all you got to do is look through the schedule. It wouldn't take too long to figure out which three I'm talking about.
Right.
Other than that, like, they're going to dominate a lot of these offenses and quarterbacks because Darius Slay, James Bradbury, and Avante Maddox.
Yeah.
When Jonathan Gannon decides to let them play man coverage.
Yep.
I mean, that's the best trio in football when it comes to the secondary. And now you're starting to see the pass rush.
Yeah.
Get to the quarterback, Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham. Like, we may go D-gun. We may go three straight weeks with the defensive player of the week in the NFC.
Right.
Slay got it week two.
That's right.
Brandon got it week three.
Yep.
And Hassan Reddick could easily be named defensive player of the week after Sunday's performance.
You're right about that. Now, do you see any flaws in this defense?
Well, listen, there's you all again, knock on wood, you want to make sure they stay healthy. I don't see a flaw. I really don't. Now, are there areas where you may say, okay, right matchups, right quarterback, can they make some plays on you? Sure, it's the NFL. And most of these rules are geared towards the offense being able to make some plays here and there.
Yeah.
But the thing that I've been impressed with, D-Gun, is their communication on the back end. You're not seeing a lot of blown coverages. You're not seeing a lot of, you know, mistakes, mental errors that lead to big plays. They're doing a great job of staying connected as a unit. Now, we got to see how long Avante is going to be out and what's up with Slay with his forearm. But to me right now, only health could be an issue. Like they really are that deep. And we didn't even mention the linebackers. I mean, right, the linebackers, right. Come on, man. The linebackers, we got the best linebacker in college football trying to find ways to get on the field.
Yep.
Like that's how good Kazir White and TJ Edwards are playing, is that N'Kobe Dean is having a hard time finding snaps out there on the field. And when they figure out a way to get him out there, they're going to be even better with him because I can't wait to watch him play. So we got linebackers now, D-Gun. I was talking to Trot.
What? Say that again. You got what?
We got linebackers, baby. I was talking to Trot, and Trot was like, I like these linebackers, man. I like these guys.
When was the last time you were able to say that?
That's what I'm saying. So when the big fella says it, I'm like, okay, he just gave his stamp of approval right there. So we must got some good things going on right now.
So right now you are firmly on the Gann wagon, as it's being called.
The Gann wagon?
The Gann wagon. You're the Gann wagon.
Yeah. Let me tell you how I, for a year and a half, I've been calling him Jonathan Gannon.
Okay.
I wouldn't call him JG.
Okay.
So after the Washington game, he's been JG ever since. He's JG, man. He's JG now. He's earned that. He's earned it. He's JG.
Hey, man. Look, all right. So the offense is rolling. The defense is now playing lockdown football. What in the world are we going to do with the special teams, man? Because the special teams is not just a job. It's an adventure. And I'm talking about punt return, kickoff return.
Everything.
Everything about a special team. Punting. Everything about special teams makes you want to go, man, how I miss Dave Phipp.
Right? I will say this, and that certainly is an area that they need to tighten up. Because at some point, special teams will play a role in whether you win or lose a game.
Yes.
It happens. It's no way around it. So – right now, we got Jake Elliott banged up, so we need to get him healthy.
Yeah.
You know, Sipos needs to start punting better, primarily in those situations where he can pin the opposing team down inside the 10-yard line. You got to give him a chance to pin them down in the 10-yard line. And then you know what? As far as our returners go, I got to be honest with you, D. I've set the bar so low. As long as they don't turn the ball over, don't fumble the ball, don't cost us anything. Yeah, don't do anything to hurt the team. I guess I'm not even expecting any big returns or anything like that. Just forget that.
Yeah, forget that. You know, you look at all these other teams around the league with these electric returns, and you're sitting there going, just make sure your team gets the ball.
That's all. Yeah, just have. Make sure you catch the ball, man.
Yes, yes.
Well, I mean, four down for the Eagles, 13 more to go. And number five coming up this Sunday, Arizona Cardinals. And to me, the Cardinals, I can't figure this team out, man. They can't run the football. The passing has been mediocre. The defense is suspect. Everything revolves around Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And just a few years ago, it wasn't that. Hey, just last year, they were a more dynamic team. But they've let so many people go. It's like, what is
this team? And D-Hop is suspended.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know what, though, D? These are the dangerous teams, though. Because these are the teams, A, they don't have anything to lose.
No.
They're playing at home.
Yeah.
You got the Cowboys the next week. So this is really about us. This is about whether or not we approach this game with the healthy respect that we should, like we do with every other opponent. So as long as they don't overlook the Arizona Cardinals, they should come out of here with Dallas.
Don't look past them to Dallas.
Yeah. Right. They should come out of here with a W. There's nothing I can draw up X's and O's wise or look at matchups and say the Arizona Cardinals are going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. There's nothing there.
This
is more or less about the Eagles and their mental approach to this week and making sure they don't overlook Arizona. I will throw this out there.
Okay.
We talked about this on the show, and I didn't even realize this. The Eagles haven't won out in Arizona since 2001.
That's right. And Arizona has not won a home game this year.
Yeah, see, and that's what I'm saying. I didn't realize that right there. So,
yeah.
This is one of those games where you might get Arizona's best punch, right?
Yeah.
As long as the Eagles don't play sloppy football by turning it over, a bunch of penalties, things of that nature. They should come out of here with a W. It may not be a two-touchdown win or a dominant performance, but it kind of reminds me of in 04, we were playing Cleveland. And we didn't really think, like, okay, it's Cleveland. Jeff Garcia is the quarterback. Like, okay, this is going to be one of those games where everybody is getting their numbers, right? Yeah, you're going to get your stats up.
Right.
Next thing you know, we need a field goal in overtime to beat them 34-31. I think that was the final score, 34-31. So we didn't show up defensively that day in Cleveland, and we found ourselves in a dogfight. We wound up winning the game, but it was a lot closer than it probably should have been. So I think Akers had to kick a field goal in overtime to win the game. I think he did. So I'm not saying that's what I'm expecting Sunday. I'm just saying, this is one of those spots in the schedule where if the Eagles don't approach this game the right way, you can mess around in any given Sunday, D-Gun, any given Sunday, bro.
You're right. You know, I'm so glad you brought up 04 because this was one of the most significant reasons why I wanted you on this edition of Gun on One. Your honesty, your insight, and because you don't pull punches. You're going to tell it like it is. Whether people agree with you or not, you're going to tell it like you feel. So with that said, 2004, that team started 4-0, went to the Super Bowl. This team, 4-0, talk of the league. Everybody's talking about the NFC might run through Philadelphia now. So I have a few questions for you. I have seven quick topics for you, and I want your honest expertise on this. I'm going to do comparisons. And you tell me which one you like better and why. All right? You tell me when you're ready. I see you had to take a drink of water real quick.
I had to get a drink of water.
All right, here we go. First one. Which offensive line do you like better, 04 or this one?
I got to go 04, baby.
Oh, why?
Come on.
You had to book in tackles, but you had Hank Fraley. You had Artis Hicks.
And we had Sean Andrews that year, right? Artis Hicks played for Sean Andrews, right?
Yeah.
So who was our right guard?
Wait a minute, man. I had it on my notes, man. I messed it up here. Who was it here? Man, I can't remember right now. Who was that? Who's on the? Oh, Mayberry.
Oh, yeah, Mayberry. Am I thinking about? Yeah, Mayberry, yeah. Yes.
So you're going to stick with 04?
Yeah, that's three Pro Bowlers. I got Runyon, I got Mayberry, and I got Trey Thomas.
Well, hold up now. You got Lane Johnson, you got Kelsey. You're gonna stick with that one. I'm just gonna let you have that one. All right. Moving on. The next one, T.O. or A.J.
I love A.J. Brown.
Yeah,
but that's baby T.O. Listen, I love A.J. Brown. No disrespect, but for me, and this ain't the first time I've said it.
Right.
There's only one receiver that I would ever put ahead of T.O.
Okay.
And that's the GOAT.
Okay.
Jerry Rice.
So, okay.
To me, T.O. is the second best wide receiver to ever play the game, in my opinion.
All right. Brian Westbrook or Miles Sanders?
Come on, man. Yeah, that's a no-brainer right there now.
Huh?
That's a no-brainer. B. West. Yes.
Yeah? You think? What? Okay. All right. This defensive line currently – or that defensive line with Javon Curse, Corey Simon, Darren Walker, Derek Burgess.
Hollis Thomas.
Oh, he paused for a second. Oh, I may have tripped him up. The silence, crickets are chirping.
No, you didn't trip me up.
Okay.
I was just trying to figure out if this is where I can give this year's team the edge, and I can't. So I'll take 2004's defensive line, too.
Wow, so you straight up 04 so far. All right, this linebacking core or 04 linebacking core? And the crickets are chirping again.
Let's see. Jeremiah. Donnie Jones. Myself, Keith Adams. This is Kazir. TJ Edwards. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the 04 linebackers.
Oh,
yeah, I'm
going to have to go with the
04 linebackers. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. This secondary, 04. Sheldon, Lito, Dawk, Michael Lewis.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
This one's still too early. You just said this is the best trio of cornerbacks in the league. I just thought I'd try to see what you were saying.
It absolutely is the best trio of corners in the league. Let me see. We also had, I think Rod Hood was our third corner that year with Lito and Sheldon as corners, and then Michael Lewis.
Right.
And the great Brian Dawkins. That's hard to beat there, D-God.
All right, I saved this one for last on purpose. McNabb or Hurts?
McNabb.
Why McNabb over Hurts?
McNabb had already was a proven player. And the funny thing is I think Jalen is a younger version of Donovan. Honestly, I've told Donovan this on numerous occasions. Only the experience part, like Jalen got his first taste of it last year in the playoffs. And I want to give Donovan his proper respect for having gone through the fires. Like, if you really think about it, Jalen's played in what? 23 games so far?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So he's barely over a year and a half as far as how many games he's played. I think it's a year and 7 games. So, and by then, Donovan had gone through 4 conference title games.
Right.
And because it was the first year, he had a player the caliber of T.O., we saw what Donovan could be with that caliber of player.
Right.
So, 31 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Yep.
That football team, Derek Gunn, was really 15-1.
Yeah.
I mean, we gave away the 2 games at the end of the year because we didn't play anybody.
Right.
But that was a 15-1 team. And, you know, I hate to be that old guy and hanging on to our glory days.
Right.
But I've had this discussion. And between me and you, since nobody else is listening.
Nobody's listening.
The 2014 might be the best team ever for the Eagles. That's what? Just me.
What?
I know we didn't win it all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, man for man, talent for talent, I stacked that team up against
the 17 team.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Oh, man. You know what? Everything you just said, when I asked you those questions to pick one or the other, I get every answer right. I knew exactly what you're going to say. I got every one of them right. But I tried to say, I said, you know what? Ike's a little bit older now. He's more mellow. Maybe he's softened. But nope, you still Ike Reese, I know.
No.
And love.
That's right. And listen, you've already, the 04 team has already been kicked to the curb because the 2017 team won the Super Bowl. So I'm still trying to hold up the flag for us. You know what I mean? Carry the flag for the 04 team, man.
Oh, man. Well, Ike Reese, you carried well, man. Hey, anybody out there, you probably already know this, but if you want to listen to Ike every day of the week, Monday through Friday from 2 to 6, all you got to do is check him out on 94.1 WIP. Marks and Reese, I love listening to you guys, not just for the information, but because of the banter between you two, man. It could go in any different direction at any given moment.
That's true.
And that's the way it should be, man. There should be no holds barred.
That's right. Hey, listen. I learned from the best, man. You guys, you know, you're one of my mentors, man. So
I appreciate you, bro.
We've been doing this a long time, and we get the people what they want. Sometimes it's not what they want to hear, but it's what they need to hear.
That's right. And on that note, I've held you up long enough. I thank you for taking some valuable minutes away from your downtime to just hang out and talk with D Gunn. And all right, on that note, we're going to wrap up this edition of Gunn on One, the podcast. As I said, it's powered by the Jacob Sports Media YouTube machine. For my man, Ike Reese, you can check out on 94.1 WIP Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 on Marks and Reese. I'm Derek Gunn. Everybody out there, stay blessed. But more importantly, be a blessing to each and every person you encounter. Until next time, so long, everybody.
The greatest fans on earth. It's a bold statement. But would you expect anything less from Philadelphia? 58 years of heartache creates a toughness, a grit, a resolve not found in most. Sure, our prayers were answered, but now that we've had a taste, we're looking for more. Pondley Hockey, official partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.